This last article on the Jesus Prayer by Bishop Kalistos is the shortest of them all, and its purpose is primarily to situate and to introduce the book, the Philokalia, which is the most commonly read text that provides information on sources concerning and even meditation texts to assist those who practice the Jesus Prayer. And it is all situated within the context of what Bishop Kalistos calls the Hesychast Renaissance, which began in the middle to late 18th century and has continued up to the present time. It is a kind of monastic reform, and it illustrates for us the very intimate and close relationship between monasteries and diocesan and laity contexts within the Eastern Church. Far closer, far more well integrated in many ways than what one normally encounters in the West. Especially in the Egyptian and the churches of the East, the monastic communities serve a very important education function and are well integrated into the life of ordinary Christians. That was also true in Greece and Russia. And so what had been in the sources that we've already considered, especially the 14th century hesychastic sources, what had been a primarily monastic phenomenon, a phenomenon that was primarily confined to monasteries, although, as we have seen, not necessarily intended to be confined there, something which nevertheless was a primarily monastic practice, then spread from the monasteries out into something more like the mainstream. And Bishop Kalistos has observed that its popularity in some ways has even been greater in the West than in the East. One might wonder whether there are a larger number of people regularly practicing the Jesus Prayer among the laity in the Christian West than there are in the East, but it certainly is a widespread practice in the East as well. The Hesychastic Renaissance, as he describes, begins during the period when the Byzantine Empire was dominated by Muslim powers, especially by the power of the Ottoman Empire and thus by the Turks. What was characteristic of the spirituality of the ordinary Orthodox laity and clergy of the period was a primarily liturgical and Eucharistic emphasis. And as he points out, this was a Eucharistic orientation which was also very heavily agricultural. There were regular blessings of the produce of the fields that played a very important role in people's understanding of their own faith life and their faith experience. The liturgical year was very, very potently coupled to, related with, the harvest year. And so what in the West would have been the festivals of rogation, the blessings of the fields, had a very important effect in the East. And the produce of brought to the church and blessed there was a very important phenomenon as well. And in the midst of that, and during a time of political oppression, there was a group of hesychastic monks who practiced the Jesus Prayer, who belonged to communities that had it as a part of their tradition, and who then wanted to make it more widely available. And the two that he particularly mentions, the Colivades hesychasts, who are called that because of their emphasis on a particular particular strict observance of practices involving commemorations of the dead, and the kind of little festival food that was eaten on these commemorations. These individuals were fervent supporters of the practice of hesychastic prayer, and the two that he particularly mentions are Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain, or Nicodemus of Mount Athos, and Macarius of Corinth. And these two are, as it were, the co-authors of the Philokalia, that very important text which is available in English translation and contains sources from the very early church up until the 19th century that can be of value to anyone, whatever their Christian spiritual values, but especially for those who practice the Jesus Prayer. He describes a little bit of the background of these individuals. Saint Nicodemus in particular was someone who was willing to translate into Greek sources that were in widespread use in the West. And he particularly mentions Scopoli's Spiritual Combat and Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises. So there was in this tradition of very discursive interior awareness of one thought, one's thoughts and one's struggle with one's thoughts, and then the tradition of discernment coming from making a retreat, something which Saint Nicodemus believed to be very important for the Christian East. And so he made these sources available. That often is not realized. People do not realize that the compilers of the Philokalia also made these Western texts available so that this kind of tradition of interior awareness of the need to get past and to overcome vices and to instill the virtues could be the foundation, could be the fundament for any kind of practice of contemplative prayer. And indeed, the adaptation of Scopoli's text very often goes under Nicodemus's own name, the one that is available in the East today. Then in section 4, Bishop Kallistos describes the Philokalia itself, their production of this edited collection of texts from the 4th to the 15th century. And I said it includes up to the 19th century. Well, the Philokalia itself in its Greek edition does not, but there are later translations of it. As you can see, he mentions the names Bishop Ignacy Brian Akhananov and Theophane the Recluse, who were responsible not only for making the Philokalia available in Russia, which eventually produced the anonymous text, The Way of the Pilgrim, describing the practice of the Jesus Prayer by a layman, but also Bishop Theophane in particular's own texts have been collected and are often read together with the Philokalia by people who are interested in this tradition of a prayer of the heart. Bishop Kallistos emphasizes four characteristics of this important text, this Philokalia. He says that although it is the texts are almost entirely by monks for a monastic audience, the editors of these texts intended that they would be available to all Christians, whether monastic or laity. And there again, it's a kind of a reminder of the fact that there is an integrated sense of the value of the monastic tradition as a preserver of and as a transmitter to the lay community within the church of a wisdom tradition. The second point he emphasizes is the importance of spiritual direction. And he doesn't just mean generic spiritual direction. What Bishop Kallistos is highlighting is that for one who prays the Jesus Prayer, especially if the individual plans either to use the physical techniques or some modification of the physical techniques, or they intend to make it their constant prayer. They intend to really become a hesychast. They intend to become someone who is constantly repeating the Jesus Prayer at all times of the day. In that context, they must have a spiritual director who is a hesychast. You cannot learn to be a hesychast on your own. If you attempt to do that, you can be in serious trouble. You'll find yourself, Bishop Kallistos says, perhaps even encountering mental difficulties, because there is a point where one begins to wonder whether one's going crazy, constantly saying the same prayer over and over in the heart, and one needs to be able to discuss it with someone who understands the phenomenon. So this is very important for us who are interested in and even maybe in a position to recommend the practice of the Jesus Prayer. It's a very wonderful thing to recommend. There are these wonderful, beautiful texts that can support it. But if the person feels impelled to go further than just using it as part of their spiritual repertoire, if they intend to make it their fundamental way of prayer, if they want to enter into the hesychastic way, they should not attempt it alone. They should have a hesychastic spiritual director. He also emphasizes, point 3, in this fourth section on the Philokalia, that there is a very close link between spirituality and teaching, between spirituality and dogma. So it really isn't possible to practice the Jesus Prayer without a sense of how it connects to the spiritual, theological, contemplative understanding of the Trinity and of Jesus Christ. This is not a prayer that can be used by non-Christians profitably. It involves an opening up to, a dialogue with, a surrendering of the heart to Jesus. It is not a generic kind of praying that can be recommended to someone outside the tradition. It presupposes a Trinitarian and a Christological context. The fourth point is that the goal is not simply the external practice of this text or of this form of prayer, but the inward transformation. And he mentions the particular terms that are characteristic of the prayer of the heart that is recommended in the Philokalia: nepsis, that is to say, keeping guard over one's thoughts; attentiveness to the practice of the prayer; and stillness, hesukia, inward quiet and a dispelling of images and thoughts; and constant remembrance of God, constant seeking to be in the presence of God. One of the things that is not particularly mentioned in this final discussion by Bishop Kalistos, although it's hinted at in the first part of his introduction, is the interrelationship between liturgy and the Jesus Prayer. The question would naturally arise, can a hesychast continue to pray the Jesus Prayer during the liturgy? Is that a normal or an acceptable or a possible thing that one can do, or should one set aside the prayer of the heart during the time that one is involved in liturgical prayer? And there are different answers to that question. Bishop Kalistos, in oral discussions, not here, but often in his courses at Oxford and in lectures that he gives, is generally speaking wary of the possibility of using the Jesus Prayer as a kind of a background to the practice of psalmody, or that something that one could do during the celebration of the divine liturgy. Although he admits that it is done, he wonders if this doesn't introduce into the soul the attempt to do two things at once, which is not necessarily a good thing. However, as we'll see in the article by Spidlick, there is a very, very common, widespread recommendation of the use of the Jesus Prayer, not only at liturgy, but also in some cases in place of liturgical prayer, particularly for those for whom psalmody may be difficult.